Well, we've gone through several spiritual gifts already, and today is evangelism, and I gave the title of this message maybe a kind of an interesting statement, the most feared gift on earth. There's really two reasons for that statement. One is Satan himself fears evangelism more than anyone does, because he's doing everything he can to make sure that God's word doesn't get out to people, that he can transform lives and do these wonderful things. And I believe with all my heart that Satan fears that the good news of Jesus Christ is brought forth and shared with the world. But I also want to share one other reason why I use that statement, the most feared gift on earth, because it's the reality of a lot of people in the church today that they fear sharing their faith. If you were honest with me, and I'm not going to ask you to be honest with me this morning by raising your hand, but there's a lot of people that shake in their boots when they're like, I don't know how to share my faith. I'm not sure what I should probably be saying because I'm not a real strong student of God's word. I should be, but I don't know what to say when someone asks me, or for that matter, I don't know what to say if I just introduce them to Jesus, and it scares you to death. Let me share with you a little story of mine. When I was at Michigan State University as a teenager, I was already a believer, and I was trying to seek out a Christian organization that I could kind of associate with so I could kind of be with other people who are like mine. And I did. Actually, there were some odd groups out there, too, that I'm not sure what they were, but I found a group called Navigators, and they were a Christian group that I could connect with and kind of get to know them and see what they were all about. Now, this particular group was, they were very strong about getting God's word out, to the point where basically it was, I was instructed at one point to just go down the hallways and open the doors and, you know, if I get an answer, boom, put them in a spiritual full Nelson and tell them about Jesus. Now, you have to know that's not my style. I'm a relational guy. I'm not a guy that just wants to whack you between the eyes with some, you know, the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to know I love you and care about you first. But anyway, that was kind of their approach. And I remember one time I went up to one of the doors and I knocked in the door and the guy answered the door. This was in my own wing of the dormitory I was in, Hubbard Hall at Michigan State. And I come up the door and I start talking to the guy and he says, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. What do I do with it? Come to realize for me, with this particular approach, for me, it didn't work well for me. Usually, I either got the door slammed in my face or the conversation quickly turned to something else or they just kind of walked away. So I kind of started getting away from that approach to evangelism, but I still went on the weekends to a church in St. John's, Michigan, which was just a few miles north of Lansing, with my cousins who were on a farm out there near St. John's. And I would come back Sunday night from my church evening college-age group that met together. And I'd come back into the dormitory with my Bible. And the first few times I walked in with my Bible, I did the best I could to hide it. I'm being honest with you. Because I feared, having already experienced rejection, I feared what people might think, how they might respond. But I was challenged over the weeks with this college-age group that I was a part of, that why am I doing that? Why am I fearful? Why am I embarrassed by walking down the hallway with the Bible by my side? So I thought, Lord, help me with this, because I shouldn't be doing this. The first day I walked down the hallway that evening with my Bible on my side, I was stopped by the guy that was a few doors, not the same guy, a few doors down the hall on the same side of, as I was. This guy had every book you can imagine about religions of the world. I mean, everything. He says, hey, I want to talk to you. I see you've got a Bible. Oh, okay. So that's one of the first ones that really wanted to talk to me. He says, I know who you are. You know, we visited some. So we talked for quite a while. Now, I can't report to you that he gave his life to Jesus Christ, but at least I had an opportunity to share with him what Jesus had done for me, and that I believed in God's word, and that was one more kind of book he could put on his shelf with all the other things that he was listening to. But my whole point in sharing this with you is I too have experienced in my life times in which I thought, you know, God, I'm scared to death. Scared to death to share what I should be sharing. And I just want you to know we don't have to be. And I think it comes with growth. We don't have to be, because we've got some great news to share. And so we shouldn't be ashamed in sharing it or embarrassed in sharing it. And instead of maybe forcing ourselves into someone's door, maybe we ought to pray, Lord, open up the opportunities for me. It's a lot easier when someone came up to me and says, hey, what's that book you're reading? And then I could share with them about that. So that being said, let's get back into what I wanted to share with you this morning rather quickly. Evangelism, the gift of evangelism. Some people have the gift. I think all of us are called to evangelize, but some really have the gift of evangelism. You know, the word evangelism is never used in Scripture. Did you know that? The word evangelism is not used once in Scripture. Only three times in Scripture is the word evangelist used, in Ephesians 4:11, Acts 21 verse 8, and 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5, where young evangelists were encouraged in what they were doing to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. When you and I think of evangelism, we usually think of someone like a Billy Graham, right? That's who you think of when you think of an evangelist, someone who has the gift of evangelism. But there's more to it than that. The gift is not just, it's not a person who stands in public in front of thousands of people and shares the good news of Jesus Christ. They may have the gift of evangelism, but you and I may have that gift too. What's it really look like outside of a profession, an evangelist? Well, I want to share this with you real quick too, just so you know. It's not just us who are called or who do share the good news of Jesus Christ and God's glory. You know what? Even the heavens do that. I want to read for you just six verses from Psalm 19. I think it's kind of cool. You see, I believe as we look out and see God's creation, that God's creation itself even speaks to the God who created. First verse, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from its pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. Rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. I love that passage because it speaks to the fact that even creation itself, in a sense, evangelizes. Creation in itself speaks to the glory of God. Creation itself speaks to the fact that you were designed. That when we look and say all this happened because of a boom, and I say, no, there was intelligent design and everything that goes on in the world out there today. And God had a purpose in creating you and me just the way we are. God doesn't make mistakes. And even creation itself evangelizes. Even creation itself speaks to that. So I wanted to share that with you in case you didn't know it. So the gift of evangelism. Someone who has this gift is probably a person whose energy is heavily used in the area of winning the lost for Christ. They have at the foremost of their mind and their heart, everybody needs to know that Jesus is the answer. Everybody needs to know that he can fix what's wrong in their life. Perhaps some who have the gift of evangelism would spend a lot of time memorizing scripture that most clearly lays out the gospel story. Some of you have probably seen tracts that are out there that speak of the gospel story. through the book of Romans, as you can read Romans 3:23 and 6:26 and Romans 10:9 and 10 and some other verses that are there to kind of walk someone through the path to salvation. The only problem I have, not with that, I have no problem with those scriptures. Those are beautiful and wonderful. Is if I just give someone a track, I want them to know I love them and care for them too. That's my way of sharing the good news, is first telling you I care about you. I love you. Now, would you like to have the opportunity for me to share with you why I care about you and I love you? It's right here in Scripture. Probably has, I think, more of an impact. Although I know God uses tracts all over the place to win people for Christ. I know He does. But that's just me. While others might be serving, they may be wanting to do the talking. That would be a gift of evangelism. They want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they aren't serving. I'm just saying they're wired in a way you've got to hear. They're a recruiter. They may be relational in their approach, or sometimes they might be more confrontational. I had a cousin. I called him an uncle because he was a lot older than I am. The lot older than I am people, I always call them uncles because they didn't look like cousins to me. And he would go to the county fair, and if you even remotely looked at him, he got you. He'd sit you down right next to you, and he would tell you about Jesus Christ, and you had to sit there and listen. And he wouldn't let you go until he got to the end. That was his approach. Even back then, when I saw my uncle, cousin doing that, I thought, you're scaring me. But every now and then, he'd catch someone that needed to hear, wanted to hear, and receive the good news of Jesus Christ. The question, I guess, for us this morning is, aren't we all called, in a sense, to be evangelists? Well, what the Scripture does say is we're all called to be witnesses. And maybe we should use that term this morning. It's a little better understanding. We are all called to be witnesses. Acts 1, 7 and 8, that the disciples who were gathered there, the apostles and all those who were gathered there, were called to be witnesses there in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and to the ends of the earth. They were called to be witnesses, just like in Matthew, the last chapter there in Matthew. We are called to be witnesses, disciple makers, those who would go out and tell others about what God has done for them. It isn't so much in the results as it is in the methods. There are some people that think that what we're supposed to do is lead a person to Christ, where really what we're supposed to do is tell them about Jesus Christ and let God, through His Holy Spirit, do the work. Because that's a supernatural work. When God takes someone and changes them into the person that He wants them to be. But it is our opportunity, our privilege, to be witnesses to what He has done for us. And that's where it should calm most people down in the church, is what are we called to do? It's to tell people about what Christ has done for us. You could fill that in with scriptures that support that, but a new believer in Jesus Christ and just tell someone, God has changed my life. He forgave me of my sin. I'm a new creature in Christ, and I don't know much else than that, but I do know that. And that's what we're called to do, is to be witnesses to what God has done in our life, to witness to that. Just like Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch when he was just walking along and all of a sudden he had an opportunity. Now, here's a statement or perhaps a question I have here, too. If I'm not spiritually gifted with evangelism, then do I have an excuse not to evangelize? If I'm not spiritually gifted with evangelism, then do I have an excuse not to evangelize? Some of you did that spiritual gifts inventory. You said, evangelism's down there at about 10, 9, 8, 7, whatever. It's way down there. So I'm leaving that to everybody else. It's not my responsibility to evangelize. And, of course, as I told you earlier, fear oftentimes is a stumbling block for us. Why? You and I do not like to be rejected, do you? It hurts sometimes, doesn't it, to be rejected? But you know, they aren't rejecting you, rejecting the message. Or I'm fearful because I don't know the answers and I'm going to stumble. Blah, 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 blah. I told you this story once years ago about my brother, my younger brother, who I thought had already accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at 13, 14, I don't know how old he was. We went to a worship service on Sunday night at the church, at the Pickford Global Methodist Church up here several years ago, because Mom and Dad wanted us to go to this Sunday evening service because the evangelist was there. And so we go to the service, and I'm listening, and it was one of the most boring sermons I'd ever heard. It did nothing for me. Now, I was already at that point a believer in Jesus Christ, but and I'm just being honest with you. I thought, the guy was almost monotone, is what it seemed like to me. How could you be an evangelist and you're monotone? You know, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, I mean, it didn't sound too convincing to me. So I left that service, and I walked back into the car. Mom and Dad were already in there, and I told them that I thought, you know, and I think they almost sort of kind of agreed with me that it just wasn't that inspiring. My brother walks out a little bit later, tears in his eyes. He accepted Jesus that day. I thought, wow. You see, God uses different people in different ways to reach different people. And here I was almost mocking this person who had come to preach that I didn't think did a very good job, and yet here it was, my own brother comes to know Jesus. Folks, don't worry about what you're going to say. Just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you. And sometimes it's just an initial conversation to open the door to the fullness of the gospel. But take those opportunities because they're there. And especially in today's world, folks, people are asking because they see what's going on in the world today, and people are asking. They want to know about what makes us tick and why that we can have this peace that passes understanding when there's chaos all around us. People are asking. We can give them a reason. But fear is the stumbling block. I'm just uncomfortable with it. That's our excuses. But as I say here, and I'm going to close real quick here, we can witness in some real creative ways. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be prepared to give an answer. So what I'm saying to you this morning is, we should all be able to articulate in some simple way our faith in Jesus Christ. If you can do it with Scripture, it helps. But initially, you can even do it without. God changed me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You can lead them to someone else who can answer more of their questions, and I'm sometimes the recipient of that when people come in to see me. I've heard about this Jesus. My neighbor's talking to me about Jesus, and I want to know a little bit more. Invite them to church, or invite them to a Bible study. And when I say invite them to church, I say invite them to church this Sunday, not just invite them to church, because a general invite is not a real invite. An invite is, I want you to come to church, and I'm going to pick you up at 9:30 or 10 or whatever it is, and we're going to go to church together. And the statistics show us that more than half the people you ask will say yes with a specific invite. Pray at mealtime, whether you're at home or elsewhere. Over the years, there have been times I've had opportunities to have conversations with people because they saw us pray over a meal. At McDonald's or at a sit-down restaurant. Wherever it is, pray before you eat. Two things are going on where you're acknowledging God's blessings of food, but you're also a witness to those around you that you serve God and you acknowledge God. Two more things. Have moral backbone when you're around immorality. Can I say that again? Have a moral backbone when you're around immorality. Instead of letting it continue to go, you might try to be a person who says, that's not for me. It's not for me. interject God into your everyday conversations. That's exactly what I'm trying to do when we do these children's time Sunday morning. You can take almost anything and make a Christian message out of it. That's why we do it. It's an exercise, and how can I take this and turn this in a direction that brings honor to God? Folks, we're all called to our witness, to witness to our faith. There are some that have the gift of evangelism, and praise God and thank God for them. Those are the ones sometimes you want to sick on someone. But that doesn't mean we are excluded from doing that. We ought to do that anyway. Share our faith with others as we have opportunity. It is certainly something I would say, as all Christians, ought to experiment with. Sharing your faith story with other people. You might be amazed how they come back in response to what you have to say. One more thing, and then I'm leaving us because it's getting kind of late here this morning. I shared this not too long ago too, but I share it to let you know how I believe relational evangelism works. I told you a while back, you probably remember the story, some of you who are here, how I was in physical therapy many years ago with I had a ACL surgery. And the head physical therapist was a strong Christian, one of those that had the old spiritual sledgehammer that wanted to knock you over the head with it. He had another physical therapist there that he was trying to witness to, and he had nothing to do with him. He says, "You're going to him because you're a pastor." I thought, okay, this guy doesn't want to hear anything right now. So what I did is I just shared concern for him. We talked about life and things that are going on with their life. And when someone else might come in who I knew, I might share a little bit about God, and he was listening. But I never approached him about it initially because I knew he was like, forget it. Within 2 months of physical therapy, he asked me, "I want to know about this Christian faith you're talking about." Invited me to his home. And both he and his wife started coming to church and gave their life to Jesus Christ. Because I showed I cared first. And then they were willing to listen to the message. So I want to encourage you with that. It took me a while to get there. But we got there. I needed to be intentional, but we got there. Let's pray. God, thank you for the privilege of sharing your good news with others, because isn't it anytime we have some good news, we want to share it with people? Help us, Lord, each and every one of us, to be willing to share your good news as best we know how. Some are very knowledgeable in Scripture, can share it with just a beautiful articulation, and there's others that are like, I don't know enough yet. I'm too young in the faith. I haven't versed myself in that wonderful word that you have for me, but I can still share that I know God changed me, and I'm different than I used to be, and I know God loves me and forgives me because I gave my life to Jesus Christ because he gave his life for me. That's a good start, so help us to start there. God, because people out there need to hear the good news, and if we're not willing to share it, they won't hear it. If they don't hear it, they aren't going to know it, and if they don't know it, they won't be part of the family of God that loves them so dearly. So God, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.